is one of those minor prophets. Often don't hear a lot read or preached out of. But Micah is right after the book of Jonah. And we are a little more familiar, I guess, with Jonah than we are with Micah. But Micah has some wondrous things to say about our Lord. And we'll give you just a moment, because I know it's one of those little more difficult to find. Micah chapter 5, I'll read one verse, and then we'll maybe bring in a couple of others. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. I'll pause reading there, and like I said, we may tie in a couple other verses. As the Christmas season draws so much closer to the day that we celebrate the birth of Christ, we are hearing more and more Christmas carols out when we're in the store shopping, or in the grocery store, or possibly even with our radios on the highways, we're hearing the carols being sung. But I guess the thing that I notice more and more as time has gone, I mentioned it to Alice recently, I said it seems like about all the carols you hear on the radio or in the shopping places are things that have to do with reindeer or Frosty or Jingle Bell Rock or Rocking Around the Christmas Tree and things like that. And I guess a lot of those secular carols are all right in their places, but as a child of God, I long to hear, like what we sang this morning with the choir, talking about our Savior, talking about our Redeemer, and how He came to this earth to be born in a manger and die for our sins whenever He was 33 years old. I long to hear about those kinds of things. He was in 1867. Philip Brooks wrote the words to the Christmas song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." In those words, here of the song, he says, "For Christ is born of Mary, and gathered all above, while mortals sleep, the angels keep their wondering, the watch of wondering love. O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth." I believe that is God's desire, that we sing praises to God our King. Even in the days of the birth of Christ have we celebrate. So while the world seems to be losing more and more the reality of what Christmas is all about, I believe we need to focus as God's children on what it is we are celebrating. I am thankful that the night when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, I am thankful how the angels gathered above those shepherds, filling the heavens and giving praise to God for the birth of our Savior. But it was 700 years before that event that Micah wrote these words telling us where Jesus would be born. Micah says, but thou, Bethlehem of Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. So Micah, 700 years before the birth of Christ, tells us that Christ will be born in the little town of Bethlehem. I want to mention a couple of things. Three, if I can. And I'll be finished. First of all, I recognize an insignificant place. Thinking about the size of Bethlehem, Micah says, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Bethlehem was a small place. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, early in the Old Testament, talks about the main cities of Israel. Bethlehem wasn't even a mention. There are times Bethlehem is mentioned in the Bible, but it is a small place, a little place. I believe that is why he specifies Bethlehem Ephratah, because actually there was more than one town named Bethlehem. And so he gave the designation of this one. I am so thankful that God uses small things. I'm glad that God uses little things. Things that people would often despise or reject, God chooses and God uses. I realize there were probably a lot of people would expect, surely the Messiah will come and be born in Jerusalem, or maybe in Athens, possibly the city of Rome, or Alexandria, Egypt. But I guarantee you that most people would have never thought of being a small, insignificant town. But that's how God works. I think about how God so often chooses small things. I think about a widow woman who fed and took care of the prophet Elijah. I think about David born in Bethlehem as well. But David was the youngest son of Jesse. So unimportant that when Samuel was going to choose the next king out of Jesse's family, he looked at all of them, tall in stature, big men, and Samuel thought one of these. And God said no. But then Samuel asked Jesse, "Is this all your sons?" He said, "Well, there's one more. He's the youngest, out tending the sheep." And God said, "That's the one I want." God chooses insignificant things. God chose a young teenage girl named Mary to give birth to our Savior. God chose a little lad with a lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed a multitude. I'm glad God uses little things. Say, "Preacher, why are you stressing that so?" Because when I think about us, we're little things as far as the world goes. Oh, we don't have the big name. We weren't born into wealthy families. We weren't designated by having the last name Rockefeller or anything like that. But God chooses little things. God chose us to save us by His amazing grace. And I'm thankful that He does. So I think about it, being an insignificant place, a little place that God chose. But then I also see a supernatural person. I noticed that in the scriptures. I see that Micah makes the statement here. He says that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and everlasting. Now think about the majesty of who this child is. The idea that Micah says that his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The idea is that his origins and his descent are from days of immeasurable time. Micah was saying, this one that is to come has always been. This one that is to come has no beginning. This one that is to come is from old, ancient times that he has been. I think about what John said in John chapter 1. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He later says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." John was talking about the eternity of Christ. I am so thankful our Savior that was born was God wrapped in human flesh. The choir sings the song, Wonder of Wonders. Oh, how it could be that God became flesh and was given for me. The awesome reality that He who is eternal was born a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger. Oh, how marvelous the thought that God would leave heaven's glory, and Jesus would come, be born of Mary. I think about Him, of getting up, of being conceived in Mary's womb. The God of gods, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, grew in Mary's womb as another child would grow and then be born as He was born. Think of the majesty of who He was, being born in a barn in Bethlehem's stable. All the wonders of that. I realize that it is a supernatural person that is our Savior. But then I see, last of all, a significant plan. I realized the plan of His coming was in two parts. I realized there was, first of all, His plan to redeem. That's the reason He was born. That's why He came unto this earth to begin with. But I realized that He came to redeem man from their sins. God's plan started in eternity past, as the Bible says that Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God, back in Genesis 3:15, promised Adam and Eve that there would be a seed of a woman coming that would defeat Satan. So God's plan has always been a plan to redeem fallen man. And I thank God He included us. I thank God that it wasn't just for the rich, just for the knowledgeable, not just for the people of the elite of society. But I'm glad God made it for whosoever will. Glad God made it possible that even me, a little nobody, born in Alexander County, a little nothing of a county, that God would love me so much and let me be one of His children. I praise Him and I thank Him for that. But then not only was there a plan to redeem, but there is a plan to rule. He says in that verse 2, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. He goes on in verses 3 and 4, talks about how it'll come about. He says, therefore will He give Him up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of His brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord His God, and they shall abide. For now shall He be great of the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace. He is talking about a time when Christ himself will reign. I realize our world in which we live is discouraging, disheartening, disappointing as we look at all that is happening. There are wars and rumors of wars. There is sickness and sorrows. There are troubles and trials. But thank God there's coming a day when the King of Kings shall return and rule and reign for 1,000 years. What a day that'll be. What a time that'll be. We won't need the United Nations then. We won't hear of men and women being taken as hostages by terrorists. We won't read of problems taking place because the King will reign in Zion 700 years before he was ever born. Micah said it'll be in Bethlehem. He'll be the one that's to come, who is the Ancient One. Micah says he will be ruler. Thank God he will be. Just as sure as he came the first time, he will come the second time to reign on this earth. There is the rapture in between them, 7 years before he comes to reign. The rapture will take place. All the saints will be taken home with him. During that 7 years of tribulation, we'll be in heaven. But then he'll come, reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years. What a day, what a time that'll be. I thank God I know him. Thank God that I'm one of his children, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Glad I know what Christmas is all about. I'm glad I understand that it is more than the secular things. I'm glad I know it's about our Savior. Came to die, born in Bethlehem, lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death, that we might have life. That's what's on my heart today. Thank you for the patience in listening. Maybe God spoke to your heart in somehow, in some way. I'm glad he's still saving sinners. Someone in need of a Savior, I'm glad he'll still save if you'll come to him and bow before him. Brother David, if you'll get us a song, we'll stand and sing just a verse or so of a song. God has touched your heart in some way. I ask you to listen to his voice. Let him meet your needs.